This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Rubs me raw. I think he'll get mauled at LSU. That's my personal belief. That's my personal belief. We'll see if our guest agrees. Joining us on the Saitama Hotline, it's Peter Burns of the SEC Network. Peter, good morning.
You're pulling it against my Tigers? Is that what I hear all of a sudden? Like right off the bat? This is how you start this conversation? Jeez.
I'm pulling against Brian Kelly. I don't mind that he left. But, dude, don't try to pat yourself on the back as you're going out the door. I mean, goodness gracious, be a little humble.
Yeah, it's, again, it's an interesting time for Brian Kelly, right? I mean, he'd accomplished pretty much, you know, basically everything that he wanted to as a Notre Dame head coach, right? All-time leading, you know, winning coach. The only thing he needed to have was winning a championship on his resume. And I honestly think, too, Scott, that he got to the point where he saw Clemson, he saw Alabama up close and personal, and you know he saw what was going to happen this year, and he thought, you know what, man, it's either now or never. Like what else can I go ahead and get accomplished here at Notre Dame? Let me go try a new challenge. And I mean, listen, as an LSU fan, I'll tell you this: we needed stability, and I'm absolutely ecstatic that it's Brian Kelly's the guy.
Was he the first guy though?
Yeah, you know. People don't think that necessarily was the case, that he was or was not the guy. I think personally that he was the guy, right? I mean, keep in mind, too, that, you know, Scott Woodward and Brian Kelly, they have the same agent. So,
of course.
You know, I would imagine those conversations were being had many, many times to where, you know, listen, they knew, right? The athletic director and the new head coach is your agent. I think that was the guy that they wanted all along.
How similar is this? And I guess it's not really, Peter, now that I think it, I want to pull it back, but I'm going to ask you anyhow. How similar is this to when Nick Saban left Michigan State and went to LSU? I know he burned a lot of bridges when he left East Lansing. Are the two situations comparable?
Yeah, I mean, the difference is, you know, Nick was just building something in East Lansing, right? Like he hadn't, you know, been on the worldwide college football, you know, radar just the way that Brian Kelly was. I mean, and I think, listen, I think Notre Dame fans and Notre Dame players are going to be upset, and I think we have a short memory, especially in 2021, because especially if all the reports are correct, they love Marcus Freeman out there. You know, former, you know, defensive coordinator. They love, the players love him. I think that he's a great opportunity and a great hire to get some kind of, you know, new blood around college football. I ultimately think in 2 years from now, they're going to be thinking, man, you know what? This was a great deal. LSU got Brian Kelly. We got to build our future with Marcus Freeman. And I think, you know, Kelly's legacy will be secured as the all-time winningest coach past Newt Rockne.
What does Brian Kelly bring to the table, though, other than 12 years of experience? If you had to dial into one particular trait that LSU needs more than absolutely anything that Brian Kelly offers, what would it be?
Well, it's two things. One, if you're talking about on the field, it's building great offensive line. And that's something that LSU has not had over the last couple of years at all, right? I mean, like you go back and look at them this year, they have struggled. And you go back and look at all of the guys that Notre Dame has traditionally put into the league, you know, skill positions, they've had a couple, defensive players a couple, but offensive linemen, and that's something special that he builds. And that's what you got to have in the SEC. So that's the on-field part. The off-field part is just stability. I mean, going back from the days of, you know, I mean, it's been about 15 years since I've listened to an LSU press conference that I didn't kind of scratch my head afterwards and I go, huh? Whether it be Les Miles or Ed Ogeron, right? So, I mean, you know, now you have a guy that he's got skins on the wall. He knows how to build a program, and now you're going to, you know, surround him with the unbelievable talent here at LSU. I mean, Scott, I'll tell you this: I had people at several different places in the SEC tell me the last thing that they wanted, and this is over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. The last thing they wanted was LSU to have a stable, really good coach, because if they did have that, they would be an absolute force along the lines of Georgia now, along the lines of Alabama, And I think they got that with Brian Kelly.
You know, Peter, the more I think about it, the more I do like this hire better than the fit.
There you go.
Well,
see, you're coming around, Scott. I like it.
I don't like the way it went down, but it makes so much sense, though, because, as you pointed out, his strongest on-the-field skill is his ability to build offensive lines. But also that and his experience, perfect to really, you know, you're going to have to reinforce LSU now that Oklahoma's coming, now that Texas is coming. LSU, more competition than ever, you're going to need that guy who's going to be able to say, this is how we play football, not panic, not start changing things because you're slipping a little bit. I think this makes more sense the longer I think about it. I still just don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, but think about the opposite side of it. You know, if he hung around, what do you get? And what if they made the college football playoff, right? Like, LSU had to say, listen, you're either in or you're out. And Brian Kelly, like, you know, I don't think Brian Kelly doesn't want to leave that way, right? Like, Brian Kelly would just as soon stay there, and so that way no one complains about it. But they needed him right now, especially during before signing period. And again, there's no – I mean, listen, a running back right now in today's world can have a bad game and put his name in the transfer portal the day after, okay? And maybe that provides more cover for head coaches to do it, but, I mean, that's just the way the world works now. And, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, you know, LSU got what they needed, and I still think at the end of the day Notre Dame's going to end up having what they needed. It's just going to take them a while to get there.
We're joined by Peter Burns, SEC Network. Follow him on Twitter at Peter Burns. ESPN. Peter, let's talk about an actual ball game, because this has dominated my show for this week. I'm sure you've done the same. And I mentioned it to open the show. I was talking about Georgia versus Alabama. Georgia's 6.5-point favorite over the Crimson Tide. That's the largest spread. Those are the most points Alabama has received in, I think, since 2008. That is incredible. But I'm of this mind, Peter. Georgia has dominated all year. Georgia's looked unbeatable all year. And that could be its greatest asset. But it could also be to its detriment, because Alabama, despite leaking oil throughout the month of November, they've found the will to win. They've been able to dig down, get what they need to pull off a victory. They've refused to rattle, to refuse to lose. How do you think Georgia is going to respond in a tight game? How do you think the Bulldogs will respond if it's late in the game and Alabama's within 3 points or possibly in the lead?
I mean, again, I don't think it's going to be a close game. But B, even if it is, I think they're strong enough. And I when you go back and look at it, who has more starts? You know, Bryce Young or Stetson Bennett? Right? Stetson Bennett has more experience than Bryce Young. So everybody's talking about, like, whoa, what's going to happen? Well, Bryce Young still is inexperienced. I mean, you know, to me, I want to take a step back before I even answer that. And Scott, like, we looked, everybody looked at Alabama as not being a good team this year. I think they're a great team. And the reason why I say that is that they're great to be 11-1 despite them being an above average team, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm impressed that they've even made it to 11-1, especially now that Brian Robinson may not play their star running back. They may be down to one scholarship running back. I just don't see how they have success against this defense. And to me, Kirby built this team to be elite. And I just think that offensively, I can see teams getting rattled. Defensively, I do not see this team getting rattled whatsoever.
And I guess two questions before we let you go. One, I'm of the mind that maybe Nick Saban is having his most fun as the head coach at Alabama, because he's only happy when he's miserable, and he hasn't been able to say he's not been miserable all year because everything's been so close. But also, is it, I guess, imperative, back to my earlier point, imperative that Alabama stay close within the first half, because anything can happen after halftime?
Yeah, I mean, again, you go back and look at, I mean, you know, they should have been out of the game in the last two, you know, SEC championship games that they played. Then they hung around, and anything can happen. I mean, that's the only thing that Georgia can't afford to do. Like, this thing needs to be 17 points, 20 points by the, you know, mid-third quarter, which I do think that it definitely has a chance to do. I think it's a low-scoring game, because I think, you know, Georgia's going to make sure that they don't put themselves in a position to make any big mistakes. But I think they can just grind it out. And, you know, ultimately I end up seeing this game being like a 28-17, 28-13 type game, all Georgia Bulldogs. And it's crazy. That would be the fourth loss by double digits in over a decade, which is just nuts, which is goes to show you how good Saban is when it comes to coaching. I just don't think he has the team to compete with a generationally good Georgia Bulldog team.
And, Peter, before we let you go now, you have two small children, correct?
Yes.
Ages 2 and 4?
Yeah, yes, and that's the reason why I have a bad back. I'm always tired. I'm always grumpy. Yes, but I love them to death.
Well, okay. Well, other than that, you got a lot going for you. Okay, so they have not yet seen Home Alone.
No, we have not. I'll make them watch Christmas Lampoon Vacation with, but we have not watched Home Alone as a family yet.
Well, okay. I was going to tell you, you should take some of that, some of your ESPN dollars. We had it earlier in the show. You can go Airbnb the Home Alone house for like $25. What is it, a raffle, Trent? Or?
Yeah, there is, like, they're doing a raffle, and whoever wins only has to pay $25 to go stay in it for a night.
I think Peter Burns needs to get in that.
That's not bad. I mean, again, where is the house actually located?
Chicago.
Do we know? It's
Chicago.
In New York or what?
Outside Chicago.
Outside Chicago? Eh, I'm going to pass. I'm gonna stay in the South. It's going to be too cold. You guys, I'll keep my raffle money and use it for range balls or something.
He's Peter Burns of the SEC Network. Follow him on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Peter, been a blast, buddy. Talk with you later.
Later, Scott. Later, boys.
He wants range balls.
Hey, I like it. Man of his word.